Hundreds of people have traveled to the Alaska Peninsula this month for a chance to bag a brown bear. Most hunters are non-residents who hire guides and charter flights, driving an estimated $10 million of economic activity. KDLG's Hannah Colton went to the hub of the bear hunt action in King Salmon and has the story.
On the bank of the Naknek River in King Salmon is Float Plane Row, where a hunter just flew in from the field. He's got a hide laid out on the gravel alongside a bloody bear skull. He's waiting for Dave Crowley and Chris Peterson. They're wildlife biologists from the local fish and game office, and they set up shop on the tailgate of their pickup truck.
This is a caliper and a ruler. I am measuring the length and the width of the skull. You add that together and you get skull size.
When hunters, like this guy from Anchorage, get back with their trophies, this is one of the first boxes they have to check. They have to get fish and game to seal the skull and the hide. It's a quick inspection to take some samples.
I'm just taking a hair sample for DNA.
And to make sure the hunter has crossed his T's and dotted his I's.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Congratulations. Great job.
Back in town, I stop in at the King Salmon Airport. Penn Air agent Lisa Davis tells me she's been checking bear hides for successful hunters all week. She had six yesterday, packed up in plastic bags or totes.
We have a lot of hunters that come in with bears, and you generally know because they do stink. Even if they're carefully prepared, when they come in, they smell very bad.
By now, she's used to the smell, but she says getting these on the plane doesn't always go smoothly.
Oh, yeah, we had a passenger come in last night whose baggage was overweight for his bear hide, and he had to lose 20 pounds, so he suggested that he take it outside, cut off the feet, so that it would be underweight so that he could get it on the plane last night. We went ahead and let him ship it as cargo so that he did not have to do that.
The noon flight to Anchorage just got canceled. It's left one hunter sitting in the lobby waiting for the next flight out.
My name's Wayne Hott. I'm a retired Air Force dentist. I live in Wichita, Kansas.
Wayne is a trim 68-year-old. He wears a crisp wool button-up and clean matching camos, and he's fiddling with his smartphone.
I think one of my family just replied back to the text with the picture of the bear. Let me see what they said.
Wayne Hott has been waiting years for this moment. He says he's hunted lots of big game all over the world, but brown bears have been a sore spot since he had three unsuccessful attempts in Southeast Alaska over a decade ago.
And I did other things to try and forget about the brown bear, but obviously I couldn't forget about it completely.
According to rates listed on the AAA Alaskan Outfitters website, Wayne shelled out more than $24,000 for a 15-day guided hunt on the Alaska Peninsula. His first week in the field, the weather was iffy. A few good hunting days and a couple rainy ones spent in the tent. Then his luck turned.
Must have been Monday. Yeah, Monday was day eight of my hunt.
Wayne and his guide were in a pop-up blind when they spotted a sow with two cubs on the side of the mountain.
And all of a sudden, there was this lot bigger bear above them and came down toward them. And the two bears were just nose to nose like a couple of dogs posturing at each other. And this was like a mile off, but we could see them.
Finally, the bigger bear left the others. It started moving down the mountain toward a grassy spot in the valley that looked promising.
We grabbed our packs and took off at 4 o'clock and shot the bear at 4:45. And we were back in camp, I think, either 7:30 or 8 o'clock with the bear skinned.
They left the rest of the carcass in the field for scavengers to find. Wayne decided he'd had enough rain and cramped tents, so he headed back to King Salmon. Now his 9-foot bear hide continues its journey. It'll be cleaned, salted, and then FedExed back to Kansas, where Wayne has a favorite taxidermist on call.
The thing that's so remarkable about the bear, though, is that I like the most in my wife, and it's important because she's always asking me where we're going to put the next one. She'll love this because it's beautiful. If you took a color scale that started at dark brown and went to a light tan and did a continuum of color variations through that spectrum, this bear's got all of them. It's a beautiful, beautiful specimen.
Besides looks, what Wayne loves about this bear is the fact that he shot it with ammunition he made himself. He says this is the fourth time he's taken dangerous game with his own hand-loaded ammunition.
It's the satisfaction of taking the components that go together to make a rifle cartridge and making it work, having it shoot accurately, and then having it perform well when it better perform well. You know, if you're trying to take a Cape Buffalo or a leopard or a brown bear, ammunition better work. Better work.
Eventually, the bear will be mounted with the rest of the Hott family collection. Wayne wants his bear on a grassy base in a natural position, so not fierce or growling. But he does want the teeth clearly visible. He is a retired dentist, after all. Reporting in King Salmon, I'm Hannah Colton.